This is a Pinball News production.
My name's Steve Ritchie, and I make pinball machines. I'm real happy to be here. I like doing shows. I was at the first Texas Pinball Festival, had a great time then, and I'm having a great time this time. Wow, it's great to be back at Stern and working again. I've only been back since March 1st. Packed up all our stuff, and my wife is she supervised the packing and all that, so she's in California right now. And the moving van's going to be in Chicago in a week or so. We'll be moving in. Wow, I got a slideshow here. Some of them are kind of boring, but this is where I lived for the last 7 months in San Benito County in California. It was a interesting place. This is a ranch, and it's owned by Matt Cristiano. He's part of Planetary Pinball along with Rick Bartlett. And anyway, whenever I do these shows, you know, I get a little cleaned up, cut my hair, whatever, and I don't know. I use this thing called a Flobee on my hair. It's got a, you know, it connects up to the vacuum cleaner, and it's got a motor in it, sucks the hair right in there, cuts it all to the same length, and it's not bad if you don't mind looking like a tennis ball. I don't mind. Back to the place. Could you hit it there? What's your name, sir? Sean? Jim? Jack. I can't hear Jack. Anyway, right, this is a collection of old pictures and you know, and people. It's like, I just want to say hi to Jim. Jim's got a problem, and I hope he survives it. Okay, next one, please. I don't know what this is doing in there. This is my friend Larry. And, man, whoa, next slide, please. This is Larry with a broken arm right after that turn. And the next one, I know lots of people that need to get healed from riding dirt bikes. Next one, sir. Wow, that's a Klingon, but I think he's the only, like, he might be the only gay Klingon. This is the Jocker. I don't know what it is, but it's like an old pinball machine we saw, what was new at the time, a copy of, I don't know what game, but the Jocker. There's something missing there, isn't there? The Jocker. How about the next one? That's me. I'm standing next to John Borg. He's a character. Can I have the next slide, sir? Oh, this is cool. This is from like Pinball Expo, maybe the second one, third one or something. And that's that's Pat Lawler in the corner, and Ward Pemberton, Barry Osler, Joe Camico, Jim Patla, Claude Fernandez. I forgot his name, but you guys know his name. Gottlieb Designer, Jerry Armstrong, Rob Burke, and then Dennis, and then me. And Dennis is saying, "Do you see that chick in the third row?" And I'm saying, yes. Can I have the next slide, sir? Yeah, this is like, I'm like shaking with happiness and surprise that T2 Pinball is in Las Vegas. Yeah, it's kind of fuzzy. What about the shirt? What's wrong with the shirt? Yeah, it's like, I don't know where I got that. This was also taken in Germany a long time ago. Next, please. This is Ed Boone and I. We're standing in front of the El Dorado Arcade where pinball was king. It was awesome in Germany at that time. There were so many pinball machines. There were many, many more than video games. And the German people and the French people went crazy for pinball. This was in the heyday, I think, right around Black Knight 2000. Anyway, could we have the next slide, sir? Does anybody know what game that is? It doesn't really look like it, but we have the next slide. It's like, this is, oh, you can sort of see the name of there. Next slide again, there, please. It really turned out to be high speed, but that's what the white would look like originally. Does anybody know how to make an unemployed game designer's car go faster? take the pizza delivery sign off the roof. High speed was a fun project. It took a lot of passes to get it right. And as you can see, the, you know, the wire forms weren't exactly where they are today. Can we have the next slide? This is Ed Boone working hard at Black Knight 2000. And I don't know. Ed Boone was like a rookie when we were making F-14 Tomcat in 1987. And, you know, he was a great programmer. He knew nothing about games. And he went on to do a lot of other pinball machines, as well as he's the man behind Mortal Kombat. Next slide, please. This is at the show with F-14 Tomcat. The show is in Chicago, AMOA. We have the next one. This is Roger Sharp, myself. You guys bored yet? These pictures are ugly, huh? Anyway, Roger Sharp had had a thing or two to do with high speed. We let him in early and check it out, and he liked it, so we thought it might be pretty good. Go ahead. Yeah, this is us in wow, this is us in Hamburg. The guy on the left is Hans Rosenzweig, and he's the distributor there. Next to him is Eugene Jarvis, and then me, I can't seem to stay awake, and Joe Quadri. On this night, Hans took us out to a nice restaurant. It's called Finland House, and after dinner was over, he said, okay, we're going to have some espresso. So we have espresso, and then 15 minutes later, he goes, how about a grappa? Yeah, grappa. Grappa is this, like, horrible liquor made of stems and seeds and skins of grapes, and it's kick-ass. Yeah. So we drink a shot of that, and then he goes, espresso, again. So we have espresso again. And then another grappa. And then an espresso. And then a grappa. So I don't know how I feel. I don't even know my name right there. And so I went back to the hotel room, and, you know, I jumped in bed. And after about a half an hour, wah, sit straight up, and then get tired, go to sleep, and then sit straight up. The whole night was like that. And the next morning, I couldn't see or hear, and I could barely speak. Anyway, that's Hans' idea of a great evening. We have the next slide, sir. Roger Sharp, this is, why in the hell are you taking my picture? You know, I don't like my picture being taken unless you tell me about it. Okay, I'm telling you about it. Next slide, please. This is me. I'm bad. I'm nationwide. I think that was in the, I don't know, probably around the same time, Black Knight 2000. Next slide, please. Here I'm drawing a game. Actually, it's high speed. You can see that. The picture's totally set up. It's Steve Kordak, my brother Mark Ritchie, and Barry Osler. And I'm pretending to draw, but it's already drawn. How about the next one? In this picture here, you can see who's really doing the work, you know. Steve Kordak and Barry are examining things they got their tie on, but my brother and I, we got our sleeves rolled up and we're working. This is in the Williams factory. Next slide, please. This is Larry DeMar standing next to Banzai Run. Larry's probably... Well, he's one of three of the greatest pinball programmers that ever lived. Can we have the next slide? We're going back to where I lived at the ranch. This is an awesome place. It's 7,600 acres. 7,600 acres is like, you know, it's like 10 Golden Gate Parks, 99 Disneylands. It's just gigantic. It runs for miles, and it's gorgeous. Can we have the next slide, sir? This is like a dry river that isn't dry in the winter, but go ahead, one more. Just sort of run through these. We get this pretty often there, and beautiful sunsets, and it was an awesome place. This is Matt Cristiano, and up inside is Rick Bartlett, and they're unloading the parts they bought from Wayne for Planetary Pinball. And great guys, both of them. Next, please. This is the house we lived in there. I know it's real boring, but just kind of cool, you know. It's like to go from that to Chicago is like killer in 1 week, you know. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, more shots of the area and the zone. It's like it's a little washed out, but go ahead. Yeah, these are grapes. And a friend of mine who's also a pinball collector and a friend of Matt's and everybody else out there who's into pinball makes his own wine. So we went out and picked grapes with him one day, and it was a lot of fun. And then you look at your hands and you go, that wasn't so much fun. And anyway, they don't taste good to eat. Well, they taste okay to eat them, but they're, I mean, I made the mistake of taking a bag of them home and crushing them up myself and drinking it. It's so sweet. It's just diabetic coma. Okay, these are my friends Patricia and Mario. You might know Mario as Pinthetic on RGP. Good friends, good people. Go ahead. This is Matt standing in front of that same dry river that isn't so dry anymore. In fact, it's ripping pretty good there. Go ahead. It's a barn that was across the street from me. I know it's weird, but there's like 100 pigeons. I wanted to shoot them so bad because I used to park my van right here. And every day it would be white, you know. They wouldn't let me shoot them. Go ahead. This is the gate leaving the ranch, and that's the last shot I have, you know, of actually leaving the place. It was a great place to live, and what it's like. Beautiful, but extremely boring. Yeah, that's just a reminder of where we live, and that Stern Pinball makes pinball machines, and they're an American company. Definitely. Yeah, this is the post office at the place, you know, in Piscines, California. I think the population is about 30 people. Go ahead. Yeah, it's 15 miles to the nearest town. Okay, this is a picture. Here's a place you never want to go, okay? You never want to go to Roswell, New Mexico. You could spend 2 hours there at the UFO Museum, and geez, it's a long drive from anywhere. Go ahead. Saw some interesting things there, like this alien guy, you know, it's like they got him in a glass case and there's doctors around and stuff, you know, they're all mannequins, but pretty nice looking model, go ahead. And he's a little crusty, it's nasty actually, and go ahead. Now, these are the metal parts, this is a replica of the metal parts of the ship that crashed in Roswell, and so there it is, it's pretty interesting, I had to have a picture, go ahead. This is Mike O'Donnell, the chief financial officer of Stern Pinball. Great guy, and I really like him. I try to be his friend because he pays me. And good man. And this is Andrea. I can't pronounce her last name, but she's a nice lady. She works in accounting. Go ahead, Johnny. This is Shelley Sachs, and if you don't know her, you ought to. She's like a great lady, and she has tremendous... pinball heritage, pinball and game business heritage. She knows more than a lot of guys that have been in the business a long, long time. Go ahead. And this is Jim Belt. I hadn't seen him in a long time. We worked together at Williams, but he came to Stern while I was gone. Good man. This is a mechanical engineer. It's like we're not supposed to even look at him. He has this kind of cave office, and he's like... He's not happy. His name is Rob Blakeman. He's a very talented guy, and we need him desperately. That's John Rothermel, fantastic mechanical engineer. I'm looking forward to working with him. We get excited when we look at new devices and play fields and games and things like that. And he's got a real passion to make a good game. He knows the difference between a good game and a bad game, and I look forward to working with him. Go ahead. This is Al Dale. I didn't know him. I don't know his exact position, but he's sort of like operations. And Sheridan Alzer in the back there, another guy who's...
I didn't see you standing in front of Al. I didn't see Al.
Yeah. Anyway, Sheridan Alzer in the back. Sheridan takes care of build materials and parts and the harnesses. Well, sort of the supervisor. Can we have the next one? This lady's Gabrielle. And she's also BOM and harnessing. Very talented lady. This is, and I forgot his name. No, it's Gary. And he's got a big grin on his face because he knows we're going to do some damage soon. Anyway, next slide. This is Mike Reimer. I don't know him very well. I think he's already angry with me for taking this picture. Go ahead. And Lonnie Robb. He's always got a smile. Next one, sir. This is John Borg, the real John Borg, you know, in his office, and good guy. I like working with him. I like talking with him. He's also a BMX rider. We have a little in common there, except for the motor part. We have the next one. This is Roman. I don't really know his last name or anything. I don't even know what he does, but I know he's, you know, he's working with Don in the production department, and good team. I like knowing that Don's there, because when we build a game, we rely on each other. He's got to tell me what I have to fix, what would make it easier to build, and I tell him to, I don't know, suggestions. Go ahead. I don't know the name of this person. Works at Stern. Go ahead. This is Party. She's like final inspector. Nice lady. Very good at what she does. Yeah, he's a tester also. Forgot his name, though. Do you know his name? How come we don't know his name? He's been there a million years. Just some factory scenes, ladies working on sub-assemblies. Can we have the next one? And this is, see the Rolling Stones cabinets in the background. We're building them. It's nice to come into a factory. I don't know if you guys, like, you know, I can't describe it. You work in a pinball factory, it's got a smell when you walk in of ink and wood products, and it's noisy, and when you walk in and hear that and smell it, you just, I don't know. You know, something's going on. Go ahead. Another lady at the in the factory sorting parts. And this is Joe. He's like final tester and again, a master of what he does. Go ahead. I'd spot the horse. He lived right across the street from us. He'd let us pat him, you know. I never rode him or anything, but he's a character. He likes apples. I think they all do. This is me riding my dirt bike in a race about 4 years ago. And I still love doing it. And that's about maximum traction right there. And the place I rode in was, it looks like a national park. It's gorgeous. And they only open it up for hare scrambles and other kinds of races. And so, I did pretty good. I got second place in my class, which is like geezer. There's 10 other guys in my class, you know, some barely get on the bike. Next one, please. Dwight Sullivan, good gamesman. He's not at Stern any longer. Could we have the next slide? And there's a picture of Gary. That's a few years old, maybe 4 or 5 years old, something like that. He's got his Mickey Mouse phone back there. And could we have the next slide? Keith Johnson, we worked together on a World Poker Tour, one more. And here he is lounging in the Lonnie Lounge right there. Next slide. This is, Terminator 3. I had a good time making that game. We had that's a pretty early version with a wireform tube running up from the shooter. Go ahead, sir. This is me turning to the guy next to me who isn't there, and I said, was that the starting gun that just went off? We got some bugs out there. You got some bugs out here, too. That's a tarantula, and I threw down my glove next to him. What they do is when, you know, he's on the road, I'm riding my motorcycle, and I see him. I never run over him. I like him. I don't want him for friends or pets, but, you know, no reason to kill him. So they get kind of big. Next one, sir. Yeah, this is some punk designer who came to Williams, and I think I'm making flash right there. I don't know. I was kind of missing a picture of Lyman Sheets, one of the best programmers of pinball that ever lived. And I don't know if he's there or not. Maybe not. But I just want to tell you all that He's reporting to Stern for work on Monday. He stopped working at WMS, and I'm really glad to have him back. We're putting together Team Spider-Man again. Lyman rocks, and we get along well, except for the time we were throwing pinballs at each other. He drank too much coffee one day. So did I. That's my slideshow. I have a bunch of other things to say. I'd like to talk about my new game, but I can't do that. It's not time. We have a decent license lined up that I'm excited about. I think, I've been working every day at my CAD station and enjoying every minute of it. And what happens to me is when I'm happy, I create special things. And I'm excited about a couple of devices that I'm working on. And I'll find out if they work soon. I think I'm going to take some questions and answers right now. If you guys have any, I'd be happy to answer them. But I need a spotter up here because I can't hear with a damn. You going to spot for me? This gentleman back here.
Is there a reason the game designers can't move the flippers farther down, make the apron smaller so the playfield is larger?
There's a lot of reasons. We need this thing called gravity, and it's like there isn't much room at the end of the board, and there's a hole there to feed the ball to the ball lifter to put the ball in the ball shooter slot. Also, the bottom end of a game is something I don't like to mess with. I think you guys are a bunch of experienced players, you know the flippers to be there, and people come to rely on their position and how they act and how the ball interacts between those and the slingshots and the lanes. I don't like to mess with it because it's maybe the one familiar thing that doesn't change from game to game, and even it changes sometimes. I'm just not in favor of changing it much because I want people to feel comfortable. We're trying to develop, trying to get new players to play the game, and I don't like to pull switch-ups like that on them. Everything else, but not that, maybe. Next question.
After you draw a game, what do you use to start with on the whitewood? What materials do you use?
What materials?
Mm-hmm. And do you use previous games to make the new game?
I generally keep, it's a CAD drawing. I generally keep a game for reference, but mostly for components, If I want to grab an arrow insert, I know I can just go over to the game next to it and get it. Excuse me. I try not to let previous games, influence me, but they do. I'm human, so it's like if I find a spot where something's going to work, and I want to do it again, I will do it because, if you want to make a smooth-playing game, there's only so many places. I probably burned off most of them where you can put shots that work well and are smooth and work together. I'm not sure if I answered your question, though. Materials was in there. What was he referring to?
Physical materials.
All right, his question's way too long. We don't even want to bother with it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. The materials that I use generally are chicken wire, paper mache, chewing gum, some stuff like that. Now, it's like wood. I'm not sure what you mean by materials, but, I don't make anything physically until we have a good, CAD representation of what we're doing, and I can study it. And, this is weird, but I can actually play the game before I actually build it. And I'm never going to tell how that happens, but I can do that and see how things are going to go in a pretty general way. But it's usually pretty reliable. Next question.
The biggest part of, making Black Knight 2000.
The biggest part?
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with a lot of evil personalities like the Black Knight, in here. No, not really. That's not the problem. Biggest problem was...
Part.
Huh?
The biggest part.
Oh, the biggest part. Biggest part is the lower playfield, I think. No, I guess the cabinet. That'd be the biggest part. I'm being a wise guy. I know what you mean.
Changed it to problem.
Yeah, it was getting the upper playfield to hinge up. And, Joe Jose and I worked on that for a couple of months, getting the playfield to hinge and still making the shots line up and have the ball come down to the lower playfield in a pleasing manner. And, I really miss Joe. He was probably, Joe Jose's no doubt, the greatest mechanical engineer that pinball ever saw.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he designed a few games too. He did pretty well with that. Did he just make fun of my hair? No. Okay. What did he say?
He said, "Is there a possibility of a high speed 3?"
High speed 3. Well, high speed 3 is a Williams. You know, that's a Williams title. And you know, I might do like very fast driving or something like that. No, I'm not going to do that. No very fast driving. It'll have a different kind of name, maybe, if I ever should make a driving-themed pinball machine.
How much was the ticket you got when you made that?
Wow. It was $250 plus, let's see, I went straight to court from the road. I mean, luckily, court was in session. I had to pay $250, and I got restricted driving for 90 days for work only. And the biggest, baddest thing was reckless driving. But then a few months later, I moved to Illinois, and the record didn't transfer.
I love that.
Yes, sir.
What was your favorite game that you designed?
Of mine? Yeah, everybody always asks me that. I hate to answer. I'm really partial to Black Knight 2000, Star Trek The Next Generation. Those two games I got to spend a lot of time on, and I got to spend 13 months on them each, because there was wasn't a hole in production. Pat Lawler was doing well with games at the same time, and my brother. So we got a little extra time, which is, that ain't going to happen ever again. Okay, we have to keep the line fed. You figure a factory that has the ability to build 400 pinball machines employs an awful lot of people to keep running. And if you don't make the deadline and get down on the line with the game, they all have to go home. And it's your fault. And so I was late once. I was 2 weeks late with F-14 Tomcat. But I like to blame that on somebody else.
Do you have faster tools now to help develop games? What's your standard time now?
Yeah, the faster tools are, you know, it's AutoCAD R14, depending on the computer I get, you know, can run fast or slow. But there's no real benefit in that for me. You know, most of the time I spend, or waste, you could say. It isn't really a waste, but I got to think about things, and then when I get things on paper, you'll find that, you know, they don't always work together, so you got to massage this, which affects that, and this, and finally you get to a system. It's like, I don't know if it can be sped up, but it takes me a couple months to do a layout that's good, and I've looked at it enough to think that, okay, we're ready to build it without too many errors. I like to get like 70 or 80% of the game right the first pass. I don't always do that, but...
Once you have the layout done, what does it take to get the game produced?
Once I have the layout? Well, typically a layout is nothing. We have to build a whitewood, check it out. There's always things wrong. There's always things you want to change. There's always things that, what we call discovery, okay? You discover that, hey, a great rule right here. If we just change this little thing over here, it would be awesome. So we end up doing that. On high speed, we had the biggest discovery of all, in which we decided that the whole playfield was crap. And we ripped it down and started all over, the software and everything. But what we came up with in the end was a much better game. So that was the record for having to redo a game. Well, not really. There was Stellar Wars, which a wide body, and they won it in a big hurry at Williams. They just finished Flash, and they started up this wide body line, and they wanted to make wide body. So I was going to do the first one, Stellar Wars, and I made this layout really quick, and I got it built up quickly and put it in the lab for people to play, and I shot it a couple times, and it was just disgusting. Okay, it was a horrible, you know, but when you're a designer, you don't want to believe this at first. You don't want to, there's nothing I could make would be that bad. Yeah, that's a crock. You can make bad things anytime. So the next day I come in, and somebody had put PIGSINSPACE, pigs in space, on all the inserts, and I picked it up and threw it in the dumpster and went back to my drawing board.
When you come up for the rules and the amounts for jackpots and scoring, how much of that is from the design and how much is from what? Programs? The programming.
Generally speaking, most of it comes from the programmer. He butts in a little on the play field, I butt in a little on the rules, and... generally speaking, well, I've been lucky to work with some very good programmers, and, you know, I trust them, and we try things out, and we either like them or hate them, but they are generally better rule makers than I am.
When you started Avatar and John Ward finished it, and because you left, would you have done anything different than what he did?
Well, the whole game was entirely different. First of all, I didn't start on Avatar and John finished it. John didn't use any part of my drawing. John started his own drawing, and Avatar is his unique game.
Do you plan on putting any type of flash or animation in the back glass area of the machines again?
You mean like flasher bulbs? Like the... Maybe. I'll never tell. Anyone else have a question?
Can you talk a little bit about what goes into coming up with a game theme?
Well, I know a lot of people want us to do original themes, and I think we're going to get to it in the future. But we like and we need the extra bang for the buck we get from licenses. And I'm going to tell you one thing Gary taught me, and it, just like he said it, was like this. Title, title, title! Okay. And he's right. You know, we need a recognizable name. It's not necessarily true in the future, but for right now, we need the extra bang for the buck, the hype, the advertising that comes with a good movie or a great entity. We'll put it that way.
How much input do you have in the art design that goes onto the playfield, and do you think it's getting better or worse than it was 10 or 15 years ago?
It's hard to say. I have input on the playfield art, definitely. If I really hate something, you know, it's got to go. And I generally, if I really hate something, so does Gary or other people in the company, if we really think it's nasty. I'd like to work with different artists just for the variety, the sake of variety, and I'm hoping we'll be able to get to do that on our next game. I'd like to address your question in that manner.
He said that because of cost, sometimes things have to be cut from the game.
Yeah.
Were you affected by that, or were you above it? And what were some of the coolest things?
Of course I'm affected. In fact, sometimes I've been personally wounded. We're going to continue working on the three-tiered games, and so we're making some changes. The organization at Stern is a little different, and we have some interesting plans going forward. And let's see, how can I avoid the question exactly? I mean, the guy's sitting right there, okay? Now, Gary and I have had our differences. Some of you might know that, but we buried the hatchet because we both want to make pinball as successful as possible. If a pinball company doesn't make money, you know, it's not going to survive. We have to make money.
And in the past?
However, I'll tell you this. I'm going to fight just as hard as I always have to keep good things in the games. And I think you're going to see a change in what's gone on recently. And it's already started, actually. So I'm just going to say that I think you should think positively about it. I am.
When do you decide that too much is too much on the multi-tiered games? He's played games where there's too many toys.
There's never too much. Can't be. Just keep piling it on. No, when too much is we got a new structure, and it's like I said, for the three-tiered games, the bill of materials level is higher on the higher end game. No doubt, the prices will be higher also, but I think it's a good angle to go. I mean, come on, today you buy a candy bar, it's like, you know, it costs more, and you open the package and the candy bar is smaller. I'm not in favor of, you know, of doing, you know, this kind of thing, but the cost of coils and, geez, steel, fuel has affected everything. Everybody's raising their costs for everything we have to buy, and it's if we're going to stay in business, we have to make a profit. So,
regarding the amount of toys that are on the playfield itself? Not so much prize.
There's going to be a limit, but it's not going to affect me and what I want to do in my next game. That's what I think, sincerely.
Do you think you're going to do two versions of games, one for a beginner player versus an expert?
Well, you might not be familiar with our tiered system. It's we have a limited edition game that's going to have, you know, more on it than the pro model game. So then there's also a consumer game level, and we're looking into that also. Yes, I guess that's the answer to your question, yes.
So, back in the 80s, there were multiple manufacturers. So everybody followed a leader. And now, does it with just a couple manufacturers, do you see each other pushing each other or to do better? Or is it back of the same?
Now, competition's always good. It definitely improves the games, and you guys are going to be the winners. I mean, I think it motivates, companies entirely when there's competition. It's a different world, no doubt about it. And, I think about it, but I also think about running our own race. That's what we say when we ride a motorcycle. We run our own race. But that doesn't mean that we can't turn around and see where this guy is and roost his face with a rock's dirt off the back tire. That's rude. But that is racing, and this is sort of like racing. Anyway, next question.
Do you personally own any pinball machines?
Yeah, I've owned a lot of them, but I don't keep them very long. Some days, okay, especially after the first Whitewood, we set up a game, and the programmer gets everything working on the game. It functions, but there's no rules or anything else, and I will play the game. We will play the game. On those days, some days I play 100 games in a day, writing down where the ball goes, how many times I would get, extra ball if it worked, specials, that sort of stuff, on a clipboard that's hanging on the side of the game. By the time I'm done with the game, I'm pretty much, at the very end, when you get to experience everything, it's really fun for about 2 weeks, and then I like to move on to the next game.
And any games that you did not design?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment. I'm kind of glad, too. I'm moving, and it kept our moving bill very low. Yes, sir. He's talking about drop targets back in the game, right?
Yeah.
Forget about it. I'm done with them forever.
Right.
No, I'm not. I definitely, in the LE model, they're definitely feasible, and I'm looking at whether or not I can stuff one in this design right now. One or two, maybe. Maybe eight. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. One, eight, three. Gary's having a cow right now.
Is there anybody else?
Okay. Yes, sir, Martin. Good to see you, by the way. I was wondering if you could lose the accent. Just kidding. Don't hit me. Go ahead.
He said, last time you worked with Stern, you did much of the production at home or the design at home, and then you would sell it to Stern and then go to Chicago for the production. What's different this time that you actually moved to Chicago and need to live?
Oh, lots. It's much better to be right there every day with the crew. It was hard to do from a distance. And the truth is, in a year, I would spend 7 months at Stern living at the Candlewood Suites. My wife never nagged me when I was there because she never was there. That was the only good point, maybe, but I'm just kidding. I missed her. And now it's much better to be there every day, interfacing with everyone. It's very important. Just being able to speak and listen to people directly saves so much time and confusion. And also, the game's bound to be better. Bound to be. I just wanted you to know this, too, all of you. If I felt like I couldn't make the game I want to make at Stern, I wouldn't have come back. Just want to say that.
If there was a game you could do over, what would it be and why?
He's too far away, and he spoke very loudly, sort of in a rude manner. No, what did he say? What did he say?
He said if there was a game that you could do over, which would it be and why?
If I could do the game over?
Yours or anyone else's.
I want to do everybody else's game over. No, not really. I want to redo Twilight Zone so for a little flow, okay? No, I don't really. Of my own games, I like, what could I have redone? I don't know. Yeah. I wish the title for Roller Games was different. I wish we had picked, we had a choice. We had Roller Games or American Gladiator. We picked the wrong one, no doubt. Roller Games was gone in 2 weeks, and I don't know, it just took the sails out of the wind out of the sails of the project. And but I played some today. Somebody's got one here at the show, and it's It's a good game. I don't feel bad about playing. It's fun. Wish I could have kept the drop target. Yes, sir.
What's your favorite game that you did not design?
Well, it's not Medieval Madness, believe it or not. It's, well, favorite game that I did not design. Okay, I love playing Indiana Jones, Attack from Mars, not the PIN 2000 version. What else do I love playing? I love playing Captain Fantastic in different eras, you know. Love playing Fireball. That Ted Zale, he was like an awesome guy, making great games before their time. That's about it. I don't know if that's a sufficient answer, but...
She said you're on a top secret mission with Stern. She wants to know the time frame of when it'll be released or when the breaking news will
be. It'll be released on the 35th day of Cunegonda. I'm not sure yet, but, you know, I'm hoping it's within 2011. I think it will be. I think it has to be.
Yeah. And he said that you'd be available.
Right, time. I know. He's throwing me out. Hey, I never liked you either, okay? Listen, I had a great time speaking with you guys, and you know, just want you to know I love pinball, and I know you guys do too. And I'm going to do my best work to make a good pinball machine, and I've been having a great time, and I hope you guys have a great time at the Texas Pinball Festival. It's one of the best shows I've ever been to. Thank you for having me.